Shabbat Shalom, my family. It's been a long time, but you know what? Where spirit is concerned, time is but a fleeting moment. Where spirit is concerned, family is thicker than blood and there forever. It is wonderful and honored and my privilege to stand before you again, my loving brothers and sisters who stood by me in my time of need, who stood by me when I was down. For in this life, in this walk, when we decide to live a life for Christ, there are times when we will get hurt. There are times when you all have gone through your hurt. But you know what? If you want to secure your reward, we have to be able to let the Spirit of God move in our hearts so that we can step out and forgive. And many of you have been hurt in your lives. Many of you perhaps have been hurt by your best friend who betrayed your confidence. Perhaps many was injured by a friend. Perhaps you were a victim of a violent crime. Perhaps you were in a church organization that where you were mistreated and accused falsely. And you know what? There are persons who have been in the various organizations of the Church of God who have been badly mistreated. A part of families attending one organization and one another, and that caused great hurt. And to this day, there are persons who carry that hurt and bitterness around. But you know what? If you're falsely accused for the sake of Christ, then that is not necessarily a bad thing. If you were hurt for the sake of Christ, then that is not necessarily a bad thing. But if you carry hurt and bitterness around, so that it makes you angry, so that it makes you short-tempered, so that it prevents you from waking up and saying, "This is the day the Lord has made. Rejoice and be glad on it." I have some news for you, brothers and sisters. You know what? You're missing out on some blessings. Or could it be you don't really want those tremendous blessings? Consider what the Lord Jesus Christ said to us in Matthew chapter 5, verse 11. He says, "Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you for my sake." Have you been reviled? Have any number of unfair and harsh things been said about you, about your character? Do you feel that you have been persecuted? Do you feel that you have been treated unwisely at work? Was someone else given that position over you where you have put in years? Do you feel that you have been hurt all because you try to live by the word of the Bible? It's easy to become discouraged when that happens to you. But you know what? Look up. Keep in mind what Jesus says. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You know what? My cousin jokingly said to me many times, at a funeral, "Everyone wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die." And the word of God says, we have to through much sufferings to enter the kingdom of heaven. Meaning, for the people of God, there are sufferings in place. Jesus tells us what to do. He tells us how to react when someone hurts us, when someone reviles us, when someone says bitter things against us. The normal thing is to maybe frown at that person, or if you pass that person, perhaps in church or in the community center or at work, just, you know, you walk by, don't say hello or turn your back. But Jesus tells us what to do. He tells us to rejoice and be exceedingly glad. He tells us to leap for joy. You know what? God told us that we should love our brother in the hearts. And that principle of loving our brother in the hearts stems not only from the New Testament, but also from the Old Testament. Go with me, Leviticus chapter 19, verse 17. We'll see this principle of love. And many times, examples and teachings of love are taken from God's New Testament. But the principle starts from the Torah, from the Old Testament, and continues on into the New Testament. Look what the Lord says here, Leviticus chapter 19, verse 17, it says, you shall not hate your brother in your heart. You shall not even carry hate in your heart. See, it's easy to say good things about someone from your mouths when you see them. But the thoughts we can't see. But God can see the thoughts. So God was wise enough to say, you shall not hate your brother in your heart. He says, you shall surely rebuke your neighbor. Meaning, let your neighbor, your brother, know when he is falling short or missing the mark in love. And not bear sin because of him. Don't let his mistakes affect you. Notice what the Lord says next. You shall not take vengeance, nor bear any grudge against the children of your people. Don't bear a grudge. Don't harbor resentment. You shall, notice, love your neighbor as yourself. Do you love yourself? Let me put it this way. I'm going to ask a question. Do you love your neighbor? And think of that story when the young man came to the Lord Jesus Christ. Who is my neighbor? And the Lord Jesus Christ gave him the story of the Good Samaritan. My point is, if you're to love your neighbor as yourself, and you cannot love your neighbor, then you don't love yourself. He finished off and saying, I am the Lord. He put his stamp of approval on this and authority. God commands us to rejoice and be exceedingly glad. And that's why I smile so much. Keeps me young at heart. If you feel hurt, if you are feeling bitter because you were accused unfairly, because your character has been attacked, because you were purposely misunderstood, and you carry that bitterness in your heart or anger or resentment, then you're failing to obey that command that the Lord Jesus Christ gave us. Look at it that way. Do you really understand what the Lord Jesus Christ is telling us in Matthew chapter 5, verse 12? Is it sinking in? If you were and are unfairly being mistreated and bear that without becoming offended, then you will be in the position to receive a great reward, a superior reward, perhaps compared to those who only lived their life just obeying the commandments but never had to go through any trials or tribulations. Notice the parallel account here. Luke chapter 6, verse 22. It says, blessed are ye when men shall hate you, when they shall separate you from their company and shall reproach you and cast out your name as evil, say bad things against you, for the Son of Man's sake, for Jesus' sake, for the sake of the gospel. He says, rejoice ye in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. Do you want a great reward in heaven? Are you willing to suffer for the sake of Christ and not be resentful for it? Are you able to bear being mistreated for the sake of this gospel message and count it as all joy? He goes on to say, for in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. Look back in your moment in life where you were perhaps bullied at school, where perhaps someone injured you, where a close one hurt you badly. How did you react? Do you carry around the hurt? Do you carry around the anger? Do you carry around the resentment? If so, you're missing out on some potential blessings that God wants to give you. If so, you are missing out on securing your great reward. And it's not a bad thing to want a great reward, to want to come into life. God wants us to come into life, that we have life more abundantly. Scripture reveals just shortly before Christ returns, there will be sharp persecution directed against the people of God, the body of Christ. If you cannot react positively to accusations and to persecutions, then how? It will be much difficult to react positively when the trials and the sufferings are directed upon the body of Christ shortly before Christ's return. It will be definitely difficult to go through the sufferings that the evil one will direct against the body of Christ before his return, if we are not willing to put up with sufferings and trials. There are two times it mentions, great is your reward in heaven. It says it once here in Luke chapter 6, verse 35. It says, but love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great. In other words, give, not looking back in return. And you shall be children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Yes, God lets the rain fall on the just and the unjust. If you can rejoice and be exceedingly glad in a sharp time of persecution, in a time when you are reviled, then by extension, you will be more able to come to a point where you're capable of loving your enemies, where you can do good to those who hurt you, where you can lend and give nothing back. Look at the state of our world today. If everyone in the world was able to perhaps be able to say, love their enemies. You know, that's the simple formula for the end of all wars. That's it. That's it. It's not rocket science. You know, there are diplomats and dignitaries that goes and sit down at peace treaties and try and hammer out, and they can never come to a lasting peace. Why? This simple command, love your enemies. It's easy to say, but it's hard to do. But if you can do it, if you can rise above the secular world and follow what God says here, love those who persecute you and revile you and bless those. Great is your reward in heaven. Not only that, there will be immediate words of peace here on earth. This type of thinking may go against the philosophy of the world. It may seem foolish. In the eyes of many, it might make you seem weak or naive. In the eyes of many, it might put you in a position to be taken advantage of. But you know what? You know who you serve. You know who is watching. God says, vengeance is mine. You serve the Lord, and leave those who mistreat you and revile you. Leave them to God, because God is the judge of all men. This is real Christianity as Christ taught it. Christianity is for strong people, not for weak people. I know in this day and age, going to church is unpopular. And many think church is for quote-unquote old people. I mean, you're young, you're in your 20s, you go to a party, go to the mall, and what are you going to church for? And missing the great things of your life. This road is for strong people. It is very hard to keep your composure when you are unfearfully. When you are attacked. If you cannot come to the point to forgive, then you know what? We're missing out on great rewards. Get into the habit of being glad and rejoice when we are reviled, when you are persecuted. A great reward awaits for those who can leap for joy. Over here in Luke chapter 6, verse 27, starting at verse 27, the Lord Jesus Christ says, but I say to you who hear, love your enemies. Love your enemies, Christ says. Do good to those who hate you. Then he goes on to say, bless those who curse you. Hard to say. Hard easy to say, hard to do. Love your enemies. Then he goes on to say, and pray for those who spitefully use you. Our first reaction is someone, you know what? I'm not doing that, not for that person. That person is just a user. And you want to just, you know, not contact the person and not, and keep away. That's our natural tendency. But Jesus Christ says, pray for that person who you think is a user. And just wants to use you for their own advantage. In verse 29, he says, to him who strikes you on one cheek, offer the other also. And for him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. He goes on to say in verse 30, give to everyone who asks for you. And for him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back. And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. Do you want to be treated nice? Do you want to be offered the best seat in the front of the meeting hall? Do you want men to say good things about you? Do you want men to think good things about you? Well, do you think good things about others? Do you treat others nice? The golden rule. Do unto others as you want them to do unto you. Then he goes on to say, and just as you want men to do to you, you also do for them likewise. But notice this key verse in 32. But if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? If I say, you know what? I love only my brothers and sisters. I have no love for the world. Isn't that what everyone does? Say, well, I only love the people who loves me back. Jesus goes and says, for even the sinners love those who love them. In other words, if you only love those who does good to you, if you only love those who does not persecute you, if you only love those who does not revile you, in other words, Jesus is telling us, you're no better than the sinners, because the sinners love those who does not persecute them. The sinners love those who does not revile them. Do you want a great reward? Love those who persecute you and say bad things about you. Verse 33, Jesus goes on to say, and if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even the sinners do the same. You, as the people of God, are called to a higher standard. You are called to let your light shine. You are called to let others see, and by your lifestyle to let others ask, what is the reason why you live this way? What is the reason why you believe this way? How could you forgive this person who treated you so bad? This will open up the opportunity to you to say, to tell them the Lord Jesus Christ crucified. You see the benefits of being able to forgive when you are reviled, to not carry anger, to not carry hurt. For even sinners do the same. And if you lend those from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back. But love your enemies. Do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. Do you want to be a son of the Most High? Do you want to be a daughter of the Most High? Then love your enemies and lend, looking for nothing for return. And Jesus goes on to say, for he is kind to the unthankful and to the evil. For humans to cope with this type of unfair treatment consistently, it's very difficult. It's hard, yes. But you know what? You have the down payment of the Spirit of God. And that can empower you. The Spirit, it is by means of the Spirit of God that the love of God is shed abroad in your hearts. So, for those who follow God, we should try. It should be our practice to forgive those who reviles us and persecute us. God wants you to develop an attitude of rejoicing when you're treated unfairly, when you are persecuted. And there are scriptures who brings this out. It's not a far-fetched point. Notice the book of James, the brother of Christ, what he says. James chapter 1, verse 2. He says, my brethren, he is giving advice. James, looked upon as one of the leaders of the early church. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. What is the last trial you have fallen into? When think of a time when the car broke down on the road. How did you react? My word, why now of all times? Why not the day after? Why now? If every time something bad happens, is every single time the bad time? Do you say, why now? If every single time is a bad time, then you might need to look at yourself and say, you know, when it is a good time. My brethren, count it all joy. When was the last time you counted joy when something bad happened to you? You know what? A close friend of mine told me she was going to at church one Sunday in a community center when they were leaving the church. A church sister was coming out and they saw kids playing in the playground. And one of the child had a sharp object and she had just bought a new car. And he scraped his sharp object along this car and it left a mark in the car. She cringed. The lady said, my child, if that brings you joy, then God bless you. My point is, how many of us could react in such a positive way? Be honest. But if you bought your new Jaguar, your new Lamborghini, and you like looking at it, and somebody go, your temperature would go up a few. And there are situations like this when we fall into trials that brings upon just a sharp bitterness and joy. We need to be able to find a way to rejoice and to let go and not feel bitter about it. In verse 12 of James chapter 1, he said, blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life. Do you want a crown of life? How do you get that crown of life? There are some endurement to go through. There are some temptations to overcome. Some trials to go through. So that your character could be tried and true. So that you can be refined through the fire. He will receive the crown of life with the Lord as promised those who love him. And it is those who truly love the Lord who would put up with hurt for the sake of the gospel. It is those who truly love the Lord, who will put up of loss for the sake of the gospel. In the book of 1 Peter, he understood this principle well. To those in the world, it sounds like a far-fetched concept to love someone who consistently speaks bad things about you, who gossip about you. The book of 1 Peter, in chapter 2, verse 19, it says, for this is commendable, if because of conscience towards God, one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. Peter says, this is commendable. Do you want to be looked upon in a commendable light before God? Then endure sufferings and grief wrongfully for the sake of the gospel. He goes on to say in verse 20, for what credit is it when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently? That's not suffering for the gospel. If you stole something or lied about something and you get reprimanded for it and you have a little bit of suffering for it, what good is that? But when you do good and you suffer for it, not only if you suffer for it, he says, if you take the suffering patiently without complaining, This is commendable before God. Can you suffer? Not only suffer, can you endure it? Are you willing to endure it patiently without grumbling, without complaining? This is commendable before God. God looks on such a one in a commendable light. Verse 21, notice this, strong statement. For to this you were called. Who is the you? You, the people of God, the followers of Christ. You were called to this life, to be accused wrongly, to suffer for the sake of the gospel. It says, for to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps. Christ suffered for us. We all know Christ was beaten. He was spat at. A thorn of crowns was placed on his head. He was mocked. He was jeered. His attackers said, punched him and made fun of him and said, prophesy to his Christ, and so on and so forth. Christ endured suffering. We who follow in his footsteps should be willing to endure suffering as well for Christ and the gospel. God is willing to give a great reward. Everyone wants great blessings, but no one likes the suffering. No one likes enduring being reviled or persecuted. It says, but to this you were called. The New American Standard Version renders it this way. For you have been called for this purpose. You have been called for this purpose. In other words, God expects us to suffer wrongfully. Not only that, when you do suffer wrongfully, God wants us to react in a Christ-like way. In a Christ-like way. How did Christ react when he suffered wrongfully? What was Christ among Christ's last words when he hung on the cross? He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Dying. First Peter chapter 2, in verse 23, it says, who, when he was reviled, the Christ, did not revile in return. You see, when we are reviled, when we are spoken of harshly, made fun of, our natural tendency is to get offensive. When he suffered, he did not threaten. This is Christ, but committed himself to him who judge righteously. We then, when we are spoken about unfairly, when we are attacked unfairly, let us commit a judgment to the one who judges righteously, the Almighty God. Jesus didn't revile back. He did not feel sorry for himself. He did not take offense to how people treated him. And we, the people of God, are to do likewise. We are being prepared for being reviled and persecuted. And when those moments come, look at it this way. Look at it as an opportunity to secure great rewards. Look at it as a great opportunity to secure your place among the great prophets. Because Jesus said, so they persecuted the prophets among you. God wants to bless you tremendously. He wants to bless us with great rewards. The question is, how willing are you to count it all joy for being reviled or persecuted? Everyone talks about their reward in heaven. In high school, math was one of my favorite subjects. And oftentimes, you know, looking at the Word of God, and he invented all things, even the science behind the creation, I kind of somehow mix in math with his word. And I was thinking, the degree of your reward can be directly proportional to the amount of persecution or suffering you are willing to endure patiently. The degree of your reward can be directly proportional to the amount of suffering or tribulation you are willing to endure patiently. So in other words, if you are not willing to suffer for the sake of the gospel, if you are not willing to put up with hardship or inconvenience for the sake of the gospel, then it's hard to expect or want a reward that God wants to give you and me, his people. When we learn to respond to being reviled or persecuted with rejoicing and gladness, then we have that mindset of Christ. And that's a good place to be at. Let's look at Paul's example in Acts chapter 16, verse 22. Acts chapter 16, verse 22. Then the multitude rose up against them, and the magistrate tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. This is Paul and his comrade. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanded the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them in the inner prison, that is the dungeon. You know, today's prison of maximum confinement, where, you know, you're locked in and you have the little slot and you're just... the inner prison, no visitors. And fastened their feet in the stocks. If you ever seen the slave ships where the men have the big wooden thing on their feet. In the stocks, in the dark, cold cell. Concrete ground. Who knows, negative 10 degrees, whatever. Harsh environment. In a prison, miserable, no blanket. How would you react? How would you respond? You know, someone said, you know what? This gospel thing, as soon as I get out, that's it for me. You know, how did Paul and Silas respond? Verse 25. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. They were beaten in prison, in the inner dungeon. They had that joy. They had that mind of Christ. How did they cope with it? How did they process it in their mind? You know, such surroundings can drive some persons into depression. They processed it by singing hymns and glorifying God. And notice, what was the result of that? They started to receive their blessings immediately. Didn't have to wait for heaven. Immediately. Notice verse 26 of chapter 16. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prisons were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosened as a result of being able to leap for joy, as a result of being able to be exceedingly glad. God was able to unleash such blessings. And you know what? You can bet the greater heavenly blessings is still waiting for them. You see, brethren, when you get to the point of the Christian walk in your life, when you can practice God's word, God's law, on that level of going the second mile, of turning the other cheek, when you get to that point where you can continuously pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, then you will be at a place where the scripture says in Psalm 119, verse 165, it says, great peace have they who love your law. Nothing shall offend them or make them stumble. Strong people of God, do you see the staunchness of character? Do you see the unmovable mindset, standing on the word of God, strengthening them in joy and peace? So you're missing out on those potential blessings by not trying to get into the mindset of leaping for joy and praying for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Yes, it is in God's word. Yes, it goes against the grain of this world. Yes, it is not the normal thing to do. But this is what God wants for his people. Jesus Christ did not take offense at anything that people said for him. If we still take offense at anything, we've not mastered the lesson yet that the Lord Jesus Christ is trying to teach us in Matthew 5 verse 11 that says, blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. If we or I or you still take offense at something, then we're not headed for that great reward. Regardless of how we're treated, let's try to understand that God is refining us for the kingdom of God. You are to enter into the family of God. That is a great, awesome privilege and responsibility, and the authority and the power that goes with that. When you respond with joy when you are reviled, when you are persecuted, then you truly are displaying yourself to be a son of God. Again, Jesus says, but I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you. Not those who use you, but those who spitefully use you. Those who plan and scheme and say, how can I get the better of this person? How can I rip this person up? Just pray for them. Who spitefully use you and persecute you. Why? That you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes the sun rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. We have a merciful, just, and righteous God. When Jesus says to love your enemies, he does not mean the emotions of love. Love is an action word. And when Jesus used that word love in that phrase, he attached to it three other words. He said bless. He said love your enemies. He said bless those, right? He said do good. And he said also to pray. All encapsulated in that word love. So it's the action word. You're to bless. You're to do good. And you are to pray. You know, for those who you like. No, for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Let's look at bless. What does bless mean? Bless means to say good things about someone. Bless means to talk nice things about someone, about the character. That's the bless. When's the last time have you blessed a person that spitefully used you? When's the last time have you spoke words of blessings upon that person that you say to yourself, you know what, I can't stand that person. When's the last time you blessed them? Do good. He said, bring food to those your enemies. Do good. Doing good. Pray. Pray for someone. Yes, we naturally pray for our friends and our family and those we like. When's the last time you prayed for someone that you just don't like? That person who gets under your skin. The annoying boss at work. The co-worker who just up in your business and tries to get that upper hand over you, who schemes. Pray. Jesus encapsulated all those words into loving your enemies. You're to bless them. You're to do good for them. You are to pray for them. So it's very important in our Christian walk not to take offense when we are reviled or slandered. Because situations will come up where we can react in a negative way. Notice here in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3, it says, for consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. Yes, sometimes being the brunt of harsh, unfair treatment can be discouraging. And so it's hard to endure it sometimes. But he says, you know what? We can look to Christ. as our strength. We could look to him as our anchor. Verse 4, he says, you have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin, and you have forgotten the exhortations which speaks to you as sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? Scourge. Strong word. Harsh word. Sounds very undesirable. Scourge. Who wants to be scourged? One way perhaps God scourges his people is allowing us to be persecuted, is by allowing us to be reviled, is by allowing us to be mistreated. And each of those moments are opportunities to respond with joy. Each of those moments are opportunities is to leap for gladness and to come closer to you, securing that greater reward in heaven. God wants to give us the reward. God has laid the foundation of the world for the sons and the daughters of God. The word says the universe waits for the revealing of the sons of God. My brethren, my brothers and sisters in Christ, when you come under persecution or unfair treatment, when your character is slandered, you know what? God is watching you to see how you handle it. Do you respond with joy? Or do you respond with hurt or anger? The lessons you can learn if you emerge by handling the situation correctly is vital to your, to the character that God wants to build in you and to me. That Christ-like character. That Christ-like character. Brethren, the next time you are unfairly accused, the next time you are mistreated, the next time you are reviled, try and react in this way, as Jesus says. Jump and rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. That is not far-fetched. The next time you are reviled, jump for joy. Let's go to, as I close, let's go to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. Let me just pull it up here. First Peter chapter 3, let's come at verse 8. Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers, be tender, be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling. Did you get that? Not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing. In other words, return blessings for when you are reviled, knowing that ye were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. Then he goes on to say, for he who would love life and see good days, notice what he says, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lip from speaking deceit. Let him turn away evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. And he goes on to say, And who is this who will arm you if you become followers of what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed, brethren. You are blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be always ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whatever they defame you as evildoers, whenever they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. For it is better, if it is the will of God, to suffer for doing good than evil. My brethren, as the Lord Jesus Christ says, blessed are you when they persecute you and spitefully use you for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. God bless you all.